Hey, everybody. What's up? Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston. Happy to be with you for another week of the program. And today we're going to talk a little bit about a great hire from the Grizzlies, something I have not had a chance to say in a while, but looking forward to doing that. Also, we'll talk about the truth and rumor of David Fizdale and Marc Gasol and hear from our colleagues Locked On Pistons about the Stan Van Gundy firing earlier on Monday. But first, let's start with that good hire. And, I know, okay? It's been draining. It's been tough. It's been, frustrating sometimes to have these discussions about the Grizzlies and about the coaching situation, about the hires, about the front office and all that sort of thing. And I know that some of you are like, I get it. Okay. Back off enough. Some of you have said more. So it's one of those things. It cuts both ways. I can only be honest with you guys and give you the best information that I can and give you my opinion about it. And that's where we've been on the JB stuff, on the front office stuff, where the Grizzlies are at. There's been a lot of disagreements that I have with the way that they've gotten things done. Again, I don't think it's personal, but it just is what it is. So it's nice when I can come to you and kind of go with a different approach and just say that I am on board with something. And I thought the announcement, it's not official, but it's going to happen. The hire of Chad Forcier as J.B. Bickerstaff's lead assistant, I think is fantastic, a very smart and a very good hire for the Grizzlies. To give you an idea about Forcier and the reason why I say this, Forcier most recently has come from Frank Vogel's staff in Orlando, where he was lead assistant there. Obviously, things didn't work out especially well in Orlando. But you look at the guy's pedigree, including that, but certainly going back before Orlando, he spent 7 years in San Antonio under Greg Popovich and as part of staff that, has seen so many, head coaches, Mike Budenholzer and Brett Brown and so many other assistants that are in running for jobs or getting jobs, from Ettore Messina to James Borrego, Becky Hammon, Ime Udoka. This is a guy that has been in and amongst some big-time coaching performers. Prior to that, he worked with Rick Carlisle, another, legend of the game, in Detroit and in Indiana. And to go all the way back to the very beginning, he started in Seattle under George Karl and actually worked under assistant coach Tim Gergerich, who is widely regarded as kind of the one of the foremost innovators and one of the biggest player development coaches that have ever walked the face of the earth. He's worked with pretty much everybody. That's everybody. And in fact, still has an elite skills camp in Vegas that is widely attended by some of the very best. The guy that is just a tremendous development guy. And that's where Forcier gets his reputation as a developer of talent, because it started with Gergerich. It started with the guy that has really innovated and developed so many things about, getting the best out of players and figuring out skills and improvements and getting guys to be better than they were. That was the whole idea. That's what Forcier started doing. That's what he became best known for. That's what happened throughout his career. And in particular, you can look at a few guys that are notable. George Hill, he took him along with, and again, you have to, give credit to Chip England, the great shooting coach for San Antonio as well. But those guys, get a great deal of credit from Greg Popovich for what they did with George Hill, taking him from the IUPUI point guard to a guy that was, leading the way for a finals team, and then was traded to get Kawhi Leonard, the other guy that Forcier is given great credit for developing over the years. And Kawhi came into the league as a 26% three-point shooter. He upped that significantly. Also became just a lockdown, tremendous defender, massively improved offensive player, and one of the very best in the league in spite of all the drama and whatever else is going on between him and San Antonio right now. He made massive strides as a player. And a lot of that goes down to, you know, what happened with the Spurs and the organization. But Forsier gets a lot of credit from people within their organization for what he did there. And you could see the work that he was trying to do with Aaron Gordon, trying to turn him into kind of a slightly bigger version of Kawhi, playing him more as a three. I think it's a mixed bag. But, you know, there were a lot of other factors involved in why that might not have necessarily worked for Orlando. Point being that this is a guy that is regarded around the league as a tremendous developer of talent, particularly young talent. Well, look at the Grizzlies roster. And, you know, this is a team that, in spite of everything that they say they're not rebuilding, but these are moves that are really designed to kind of rebuild or at least retool. And it makes sense. It makes sense, which is something you don't always get to say about a Grizzly move. It makes a lot of sense. When Forsier comes into the picture, look at this young group. Look at the guys they've got under the age of 25 on this roster. You know, who among them is a sure thing? You like the chances of Dylan Brooks? Sure. I think he looks like the surest of the things. I don't know that he's a sure thing in terms of being a better than rotation guy. I don't know. For a good team? Yeah, I don't know. But he certainly was an improved player over the course of the season, and there's a lot to like about his game. You can go through the rest. Major questions about Deontay Davis. Major questions. So don't know what he's going to be looking like long-term. Ivan Rabb, who knows? Very much a blank slate. Andrew Harrison, who can say? Kobe Simmons, who can say? A lot of young players on this team. But some of them have got to hit. Because while the Grizzlies are going to have their top five pick, they're going to have a 32nd pick. You know, they'll have opportunities for young players. They've got to make something out of the guys that are currently on this roster. They've got to find something that's more solid. So to bring in a guy whose specialty is getting the most out of young players, that makes a great deal of sense because you have to do that with this roster. As it stands right now, very few sure things, if any, among the young players. So squeezing out every little bit of talent from that group, which is something Forsier is known for, that is a very good idea. So for once, it's a hire that makes sense. It's a good move, and it's one that I think is going to dovetail nicely with what JB Bickerstaff wants to do with some of these young guys. Again, I don't know that it's a move that necessarily feels like a team trying to win now. It's definitely seems more like an eye on the future type move. But, you know, if the Grizzlies continue to make consistent moves towards winning in the future, maybe they'd tip their cap and kind of say, oh, we're trying to win now, but really with an eye on the future, I get it. I get it. As long as they make good moves that make sense, hey, that's really the name of the game right now. In this case, thumbs up. Excellent job. So with that in mind, we'll turn the page. We'll talk a bit about what's happening in Detroit. We'll talk also about David Fizdale and Mark Gasol and what's happening in New York City. All that's still to come as you listen to Locked On Grizzlies. We've certainly talked a bit about the hiring of JB Bickerstaff and about the hiring of Chad Forsier as an assistant, but of course, with hirings, well, there's firings as well, and departures and everything else, and one big one happening today in Detroit, Stan Van Gundy out, He was out earlier as president of basketball operations, now out altogether as head coach of the Pistons. Let's hear from Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons about Stan Van Gundy.
Hey, this is Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons. But after a month, it finally happened. Stan Van Gundy was fired Monday by the Pistons as coach and president of basketball operations with a rather strange press release by the team where Tom Gores, the owner, and Stan Van Gundy, he said, Tom Gores, that Stan wanted to return. Quote, Stan is a competitor and he wanted to finish the job, Gores said. Not quite sure exactly why Gores needs to be pointing that out. I don't know if that's a dig at Stan Van Gundy or if that's trying to make him look better. It was a strange way of putting that. After 4 years, with 1 year remaining on his contract, Stan will not be coming back. Van Gundy's 4 years featured a rapid ascent to the playoffs in year two after taking over a franchise stuck in the mud, but the last two were obviously disappointing seasons, hindered by reckless free agent misses and draft night head scratchers, most notably taking Luke Kennard over Donovan Mitchell last summer as Mitchell began to, it looks like a starring career that he's going to have with the Utah Jazz, and that one spelled the end of the Stan Van Gundy era. We may never know what happened in the days of California meetings between Gores and Van Gundy that dragged out recently, and why did they drag out so long is the biggest question probably on Pistons fans right now on the minds. But Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN reported that last week that Gores wanted Stan Van Gundy to stay on as coach but retool the front office structure. But they weren't able to reach that agreement, nor were they able to get into any extension that Stan Van Gundy was likely pining for with only 1 year left in his deal. So Dan will collect $7 million and probably have his pick of television jobs as he's a engaging and compelling personality in front of the microphones. All told, it'll probably be better for him than a lame duck year under a new boss that didn't hire him. So the Pistons joined the coach and executive searches nearly a month after their season ended. Again, why did that take so long? Names like Steve Clifford, Mike Budenholzer, or former Piston Jerry Stackhouse figure to be tossed around in terms of coaching candidates, although this job certainly ranks below division rival Milwaukee in the pecking order of openings. And you can draw your own conclusions as fans and coaches out there about where the Pistons fall in terms of some of these other ones, like the Charlottes or maybe the rebuilding teams such as Atlanta that still have openings as well. Woj of ESPN also reported that former Arne Tellen client Brent Berry could be involved in the new front office as well. Former Pistons star Chauncey Billups was also attached to the team's front office in a report from Mark Stein of the New York Times earlier this year in January as potentially part of the revamped front office for the Pistons and his former team. The team will move forward with a potentially awkward and injury-prone core of Blake Griffin, Reggie Jackson, and Andre Drummond with little salary cap flexibility and almost assuredly no first-round pick next month. But if there's one thing we can guess about Gores, a Malibu resident who has gravitated more to his glitzy life in California than his Michigan background, it's that he's probably going to want to make a splash. Based on his bidding of Van Gundy away from the Warriors 4 years ago and his at least approval of the Griffin trade this year, he'll be hoping to make that big splash and get the Pistons out there and in a winning position, and especially in the newspapers and on Twitter right away and hopefully back in the playoffs as quickly as this year. And we will see how that works out for the Detroit Pistons down the road, again, who have fired Stan Van Gundy as coach and president of basketball operations. This is Matt Shook for Locked On Pistons. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, really a tough situation for whoever comes in and takes over, because Stan Van, the president, did not do Stan Van, the coach, or any future coach any favors. Looking at that balance sheet, whew, the Blake Griffin trade, that is a huge contract on the books. Andre Drummond on the books, multi-year deal. Reggie Jackson on the books. Man, they have got a lot of work to do in a really brutal cap. Look at that. Look at that. Just look at their salaries. And who comes in and what in the world do they do? Really tough challenge there in Detroit. Now, speaking of new hires, this gets to the rumor portion of the program. David Fizdale, of course, hired as the Knicks head coach, the former Grizzlies head coach. Happy to see Fiz back at it. 4-year deal, reportedly in the neighborhood of $5+ million per, significantly more than the $2 million or so he was making per year with the Grizzlies, but that's not a real shock there. And as a result of this, you're seeing a lot of coverage of the team. And some of the things that people are kind of getting into are relitigating the Fizdale and Marc Gasol stuff. And I bring it up because Stefan Bondi from the Daily News up in New York wrote a piece about the Fizdale-Memphis situation, about how things dissolved in Memphis, and included an anecdote about Fizdale and Marc Gasol that everyone is, or a lot of people have picked up on and find very interesting, because it is salacious as hell. I mean, the thing is extremely juicy. And it's one that essentially is something to the effect of, after a game, everyone's in the locker room and David Fizdale goes around and asks, you know, raise your hands if you think, you know, this team can win a title. And everyone raises their hand except Marc Gasol. And Fiz says, why? He said, we don't have the right leader. And Fiz says, oh, I get it. You want Greg Popovich? Well, I want LeBron James. To give you an idea of the depth of the issue that they had there, that is an interesting story, to say the least. It is a story that, it's not the first time, if you've covered the team around here, at least, you would have probably run across that story before it was published. But again, it's one of those, you know, kind of rumor things, something that you hear about. But these are all things that you just hear about. For what it's worth, Nick Van Exel, assistant coach for the Grizzlies, tweeted out that it was lies, that it's not something that Fizdale would have said in front of everyone. It's not something that Marc Gasol would have said, and says the whole thing is made up and complete lies. So for what it's worth, there is that. The whole thing is going to be talked about more and more. You're going to hear about it all summer. You're going to hear about it in the context of Kristaps Porzingis and his relationship with David Fizdale, and comparing that to Marc Gasol, as if all the white European big men are the same. They are not. Porzingis is totally different. But the thing with Mark that we've discussed before, I think that things get a little muddled around. You know, it's not like Mark and any of the coaches that they've had before had to be friends. But, you know, Mark was at the beck and call of all of the coaches here throughout his career. And he's done things that he wasn't comfortable doing, expanding out his game to try to help the team. There have been many, many times when Mark has fallen short. There have been many, many times when the guy has not applied himself in the right way, has not asserted himself in the right way in key moments of ball games. There have been many of those times. He is not the easiest guy to work with. But I think people are going to look at this thing overly simplistically with Fizz and the Grizzlies. And, you know, the truth is, as we've kind of gone over the last few weeks and going back to when Fizdale was fired, I mean, it was always going to be a tough challenge. It was always a difficult fit. It was never a comfortable arrangement when you bring in a young coach with his own ideas about how to do things. You have a veteran core group. That's never going to be easy. It was never, you know, that was never a good idea. It's not like that in New York. I mean, the Knicks don't have a whole bunch of entrenched big-time veterans and a lot of success where you're trying to sort of piggyback off of that and, you know, change it to something else and go into a different era. No, there's none of that stuff. And the Knicks are not quite an empty slate, but close to it, and they're going to be much more receptive in general to what Fizdale is trying to sell, rather than some of the core guys here in Memphis that were resistant to it and that felt like that Fizdale, to be honest, felt like he was coming in and trying to change too much and not giving them enough credit, not giving them enough appreciation for the things that they had done, instead just trying to overhaul it in the Miami image too quickly. That should have been expected. Everyone should have seen that coming. That should not shock anyone, based on what we know about Fizdale, based on what we know about the players in that locker room who are very proud, that should have been a shock. So, you know, you have to chalk that one up to the Grizzlies front office for not giving Fizdale the opportunity, for not sticking around with him. And I think, honestly, you're seeing now that him, you know, being the hottest commodity in this coaching market, if you listen to anybody, Woj and all the other observers of the whole thing, it was pretty clear that Fizdale was the hottest guy out there, that he had offers from many, many teams, that he had pretty much his pick of wherever he wanted to go, whether it was Phoenix or Orlando, New York, Charlotte. And he decided that he wanted to go to New York. I think, you know, exposure, I think the market, the money, maybe the opportunity. I don't know. All those things contributed to it. But he was the guy. And it just kind of goes to show you, again, Grizzlies let him go. And he's immediately snapped up. Immediately snapped up and would have been snapped up by a number of teams. So if things don't work out with JB Bickerstaff, things do work out with David Fizdale, it's going to be yet another problem for the Grizzlies front office down the line. We shall see how things unfold. Fiz has certainly got a tough job in New York. There's so many different issues that front office has got. If he thought things were tough with this front office, it's not going to get a whole lot easier with what's happened in New York, at least over the years. Maybe they're a little more unified now, but that's been a pretty fractious situation for a long, long time. And, of course, you know, in the East, now, eventually you're going to have to contend with, I don't know if you're going to have to contend with LeBron long term, but you're going to have to contend with Philly. You're going to have to contend with Boston, two teams that are there for, I would say, they should be set up for 5 to 10 years. If they play their cards right, they'll be there or thereabouts for a long, long time. What a great playoffs, by the way, to watch Brad Stevens do his thing with Boston. It's been incredible to watch. I really enjoy that Boston-Philly series, 3-1 now with Philly winning game four. You still expect Boston to close that thing out. What a really impressive performance from Jason Tatum, from the Celtics. Al Horford has been amazing in that series. It's been a lot of fun to watch. On the other side, the Cavs embarrassing the Raptors. LeBron James essentially outscoring Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan combined in the series. Unreal. Unreal. And we just, I don't want to get caught up in the whole argument, debate about who's the best and all that stuff. I don't think that serves anyone any good. I just think it is a privilege to watch LeBron work. It is a privilege to watch him do his thing. And we are very fortunate to have it. If you are the kind of person who wants to start talking rings or wants to start, you know, using the stuff to beat LeBron over the head with, rather than just appreciate the guy's talent, I feel sorry for you, because this dude is absolutely incredible. And what he's doing, I don't know. I don't know what parallel. There are very, very few. Very, very few guys that are in that same zone as LeBron. So he just continues to rip the heart out of Toronto year in, year out. He continues to rip the heart out of a lot of teams year in and year out. And, you know, his mere presence is going to force that Raptors team to probably break up. This offseason could be wild. I don't know how wild it's going to be for the Grizzlies, but it could be wild for a whole lot of teams, and Toronto is right up there at the top of that list. So much to discuss. We'll continue to do it this week here on Locked On Grizzlies. The Grizzlies will begin their draft workouts coming up later on Tuesday, in case you are curious, with a group of players that I would guess kind of in the running for that 32nd pick, maybe. These are not guys that probably are even in that spot, maybe more long-term undrafted type guys. The list includes Nick King, former University of Memphis Tiger, and now Middle Tennessee State standout, Rob Gray from Houston, Terrence Davis from Ole Miss, Laron Black from Illinois, CJ Anderson from UMass, and Jamario Jones from New Mexico State. Those are the players expected to be in at FedEx Forum on Tuesday to work out. And I think the workouts will crank up quite a bit more after the lottery in a week's time, then the combine after that. Then you should really see late May, early June, tons of workouts as everyone kind of figures out the draft order. And certainly if the Grizzlies end up with that number one pick, then it's going to be crazy to see exactly what happens, you know, with the Grizzlies. But all that, of course, remains to be seen. There is that workout, though. And a reminder, that 32nd pick the Grizzlies have, second pick in the second round, that's a pretty good pick. A lot of good players have been coming from those spots as of late. So you will see the Grizzlies certainly working out for that top five pick, wherever that ends up. But they will be also very, very intrigued and will get a lot of action for that 32nd pick, and rightly so. We'll talk about that again coming up here on Locked On Grizzlies. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being a part of the program. Again, you can get in touch with me. I am Peter Edmiston on Twitter, pedmiston@gmail.com. That's pedmiston@gmail.com. You can check me out there. You can listen to me every morning, 7 to 10 in Memphis on Sports 56 and 87.7 FM on Willow and Peter in the morning. So if you want to listen to that, that would be great. Get in touch with me any way you want. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening. Have a great one. We'll talk again here on Locked On Grizzlies.